So I have this, I'm working on this poem. Maybe you can help me finish it, or at least it's a rough draft. Let me see. You ever accidentally take the Roku remote? You ever accidentally take the Roku remote to the bar in the pocket of your hoodie? I often drive past my place, notice my car is gone, and think, where the heck is my car? Today I caught a shiny lizard. It didn't even try to get away. It bit me, but that only seemed to bring us closer together. In the forest today, da 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 da. In the forest today,
Oh, that's the part.
paint a forest scene.
Okay. In the forest today, I found a mushroom. It was in an empty bee foods container from the salad bar. It cost $10 per pound. I ate it anyway. And now, on the toilet, I regret it. The four No, that's not good. And
Let's
also,
start it over
yeah, let's
again.
start it over. And can we
Sorry,
revisit the
hold
part about the car?
You ever accidentally take the Roku remote? So hard to say Roku remote. You ever accidentally take the Roku remote to the bar in the pocket of your hoodie? And it's not even your Roku remote, it's your girlfriend's Roku remote. So you have to be careful not to lose it. And also you have to return to that place that said that night and not go home to your place. I often drive past my place and notice my car is gone. Where the fuck is my
Okay,
car?
yeah, so I often drive past. Okay, there you go. I often drive past my place, notice
Notice
my
my car
car is
is
gone,
gone and
and
think,
think.
where the heck is my car?
Yeah.
Today I caught a little shiny lizard. I didn't even try it
It,
it
yeah.
it it didn't even try to get away. It bit me, but that only seemed to bring us closer together, in that we were interlocked in sort of a Ouroboros style dumb
Oh, did you
embrace.
bite him?
I caught him and he caught me back. I caught it and
Yeah.
they caught me back in their mouth
Why
in
do
the
you need it? Why do you think you?
Ouroboros style dumb embrace.
Why do you think you need something about the forest?
So
And the
my so
forest,
hold
I don't
on,
know what. Wait,
no, you asked me and I'm
wait.
trying to
Okay.
explain. So the idea is to explain this stuff about my life, right? Stupid things happening.
Yeah.
And then this is the third stanza is me and nature interlocked in a dumb embrace.
Yeah.
I catch the lizard. I don't know why I'm catching the lizard. The lizard wants to get away, but it locks its jaw onto me and it holds on to me. And even though I want to let it go, it's locked on like a little alligator. So it's a dumb embrace. We're interlocked for no reason. Then, boom, I want to switch, boom, just to a completely different picture
Yeah.
that's completely natural, but maybe equally dumb, not related to me at all.
Oh,
So it
okay.
starts out me, then nature, then, or me, then nature and me, and then nature only.
Okay,
But
then
maybe dumb
if
all
it's
the way
nature
through.
only, you could be like in the forest.
But dumb all the way through. But also not related to
Yeah.
me at all. So in the forest.
Anything can happen. I can only imagine because
Nope,
I'm not
that's I.
there.
That's
That's
I.
too ironic.
Well, you're still saying I. So I want it to be like you just paint like a vision or a scene of something happening in the forest that has nothing to do with me or humans or anything.
Well, I can't do that because if
Why can't you do
because that's
that?
fundamentally impossible.
It's not
No,
impossible.
it is because the moment that you try to put into words what happens into the forest, then it becomes something for humans.
Well, I see what you're saying about that, but I'm just talking about like think about it like not so philosophically. Think about it like just painting a picture. just paint a picture or something, but with words, but without, there's no humans in the picture, like a nature image. Conjure a nature image, and then that'll be the second part of it, or the third part of it. So, like, in the forest,
I thought you were going to give me a better prompt.
In the forest, then what happens? A seal, maybe? A seal...
No, that's. I don't think a seal is a good choice.
A seal wouldn't be in the forest?
I don't think so. Not usually. That's too absurd.
What if it was in the redwood forest?
Would
a seal even be in there?
I don't think so.
So in the forest, so choose an animal.
I don't think you should choose an animal because I think
an animal is too much like a
it's
human.
It's too anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what? So choose like a plant. What's a plant that you like? And then paint sort of like an image. I think it might be a little bit anthropomorphic if you say that the plant is doing something.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be vaguely anthropomorphic if you're describing a plant like doing something, right?
What if you said in the forest many things exist? No, that's not working.
Just paint an image. Don't say anything about, like, well, okay, what about that? You see that right there? Great blue heron. Or some type of egret.
It's a statue of a great blue heron.
Yeah, for sure. So that's a good inspiration. What about in the forest, the great blue, a great blue heron, Well,
I don't think I still I'm having a hard time with your premise. Because
what's wrong with the premise?
Because like this idea of like trying to have a part in the poem that is without humans or without I or you, I think is impossible. 'Cause the juxtaposition, like like you should just end the poem. Like the poem's good with those three parts.
You ever accidentally take the Roku remote to the bar in the pocket of your hoodie? I often drive past my place and notice my car is gone and think, where's my car? Today I caught a little shiny lizard. It didn't even try to get away. It bit me, but that only seemed to bring us closer together.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you should just... And then I say, in the forest, a frog climbs high up into the canopy
and leaps.
And eats a lightning bug, and then it glows from the inside, turning into a lantern in the trees.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
In the forest, a frog climbs up into the canopy and eats a lightning bug. Lightning bug and turns into a lantern.
Its belly glows so bright.
A lantern.
Its belly glows so bright.
Its belly glows so bright.
Almost as bright.
Almost as bright.
As the screen of my cell phone.
As the screen of my cell phone. See, but then you're bringing it back.
Yes,
into
exactly.
The
it's full
shit.
Circle.
Okay, so let's see. Well, you ever accidentally take the Roku remote to the bar in your pocket of your hoodie, and it's your girlfriend's Roku remote, so you have to make sure you don't lose it, and also you have to make sure that you go back to her place instead of your place, because you have to return it to her so that she can watch TV when she wakes up. I often drive past my place and notice my car is gone and think, where the heck is my car? Today, I caught a little shiny lizard. It didn't even try to get away. It bit me, but that only seemed to bring us closer together. In the forest, a frog climbs up into the canopy and eats a lightning bug and turns into a lantern. Its belly grows so bright, almost as bright as the screen of my cell phone. See, dude, writing poetry is kind of hard.
Yeah.
It's like easy and hard.
It's a strange dance.
That's a good rough draft. What do you think? Do we do good?
It's a strange dance. We just learned that we should directly address the listener more.
Yeah.
So we should ask the listeners.
What do you think? Was it any good?
And then we can maybe pause for a moment.
But address the listener not as a group, but as individual.
Yeah. What did you think?
Hey, yeah. Bro, what did you think? Nice to see you. How you been doing?
Our neighbors got a rooster.
I thought they had a rooster before.
Different neighbors. There's a couple.
You got multiple roosters in
no,
the neighborhood?
No, there's only... Whoa. I don't know what you're talking about how you think they got a rooster
what?
Before.
They had a rooster before.
Who?
Maybe it was my mom. I think my mom's neighbors have a rooster. Maybe I got it mixed up. So which ones have it here?
I don't know. All I know is I hear it in the morning, and it sounds really bad. It doesn't say cock-a-doodle-doo. It sounds like an elephant.
It goes, are you being serious? Ah! Really?
Yeah. It does it over and over again. You aren't meant to have a rooster in city limits.
Huh.
Because it's a nuisance.
So what do you
get? I have neighbors with a duck that quacks sometimes.
Does it quack in the morning?
It just quacks sometimes. The rooster crows in the morning.
Does it ever quack at an odd hour?
Yeah. Often.
So do you ever wake up at the quack of dawn?
That's pretty funny. Did you think it was funny?
Did you think it was funny when I said, do you ever wake up at the quack of dawn? Yeah, I think that it's a little bit rude to have a rooster.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Here, let's ask the listeners. Do you think it should be illegal to own a rooster in city limits?
No, ask the listener.
Oh, you're right.
Let's address it one person at a time. Do you think that you should be able to... Like, would you personally have a rooster in city limits?
There you go. Yeah, but yeah, I think it is a public... It's rude. And I think it's... Yeah, I don't know what the rooster does. Maybe you need it. Maybe there's some kind of, you know, the term pecking order. Maybe there's just a...
You need a guy around to make sure everybody's...
Yeah, give the hens someone to show off for.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting because the hens are going to lay eggs regardless.
Yeah, maybe you're trying to fertilize the eggs.
Maybe they're trying to fertilize the eggs.
But maybe the rooster sounds... Did you hear it?
Yeah, I just heard it.
Yeah.
So does it do it? Does it cock-a-doodle do?
No, it just screams like that.
Well, does it scream at nighttime too?
Like,
or just in the morning?
Like 4 a.m.
Dang.
That crazy moment when night becomes morning is when the rooster screams the most.
That seems like it would still be like dark out.
It is.
That's really like the worst time to be really loud.
Well, I
like
don't,
even
yeah.
even like drunks and party people and stuff, you know, they're even sleeping
by four.
At 4.
Yeah, that's usually when they go to bed. Yeah.
Like, so even the people that stay up all night long are usually asleep by then.
Well, like a farmer probably wakes up at 4.
So that's why they love roosters?
Yeah.
Because they're like, he's just like me for real.
Yeah. Well, they need him to wake up like that.
I know. Fisher people also get up early.
Yeah, but...
And skateboarders who are sober. Get up really early.
Yeah, they're addicted to stuff. That's their new addiction.
They try to get to the skate park before everybody else.
Yeah.
Who else gets up really early that might benefit from a rooster? Fishers? Maybe garbage people? Garbage?
Yeah.
I don't mean garbage people, like people that are, I think are, you know, people.
You mean
people,
sanitation workers.
Sanitation workers. Like Tony Soprano. Oh, bakers.
Yeah, or, you know, people, opening baristas bakery. Who have to open up the cafe.
I feel like baker, like people who do baking, they should have a rooster. Because they wake up really early, and also they use eggs in a lot of the stuff.
Yeah,
they
do. That's a good point.
So it's like, kind of like a double reason why it would be good for them to have a rooster.
Our basement keeps flooding. I think we lived in this house for a few years, and usually the basement's bone dry. It used to be so dusty, the cats would go down there and poop in it like a litter box in the corners. But it's been flooding more recently. And what I think is happening is I think that water is coming up from the ground through the limestone foundation.
That's no good. That's a kind of a serious problem, right? In the house?
I don't know. But, you know, we're getting some foundation. We rent. And they're sending over some guys to work on the house. But, yeah, it's a doozy. What would you do if your basement, if groundwater was coming up from the... I'm not talking to you. I'm addressing the listener.
You're addressing the listener.
If groundwater was coming up through the foundation. Oh, and the other thing is people think that because the hospital got knocked down, it changed the water table.
Oh.
I think that makes sense. It's pretty compelling.
Yeah, that it's really compelling. What? But, wait, so... The hospital, how does the hospital being knocked down change the water table?
Cause like we're like this, like this is a downward slope from the hospital way. So like the buildings and stuff would have stopped water from siloing in to this little valley.
Because the hospital would somehow drink up all the water?
I guess, I don't know.
Because I feel like if there was drainage and stuff, maybe it would still be there because it was just leveled.
Or it would stop the water from sifting downwards, I guess.
What do they mean, a water table? It sounds like something from... It sounds like where Aquaman would have dinner.
Yeah, I like to... I'm imagining it. It's like, you know, when you put some water and it stays like flat and it's like a meniscus...
Yeah.
Surface tension, that's what I'm imagining. A table with a really thin layer of water.
Like
yeah,
a,
I don't know
like
what
a
makes
table,
it a table.
Like a table from A Bug's Life?
Yeah. Like a table from A Bug's Life. I watched that movie Microcosmos.
Oh, yeah, that movie's awesome.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Recently?
Yeah, I put it on recently.
You said to me the other day, do you only watch movies on Amazon?
Yeah.
Because every time I talk about a movie, then you look and see it on Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's because that's like the only streaming service I have.
Like
Nikki
Stanicki was the most recent one, but there's been others too.
Yeah, I mentioned like Hot Tub Time Machine.
I think like your Letterboxd.
Oh, you were looking at my Letterboxd.
No, but I think like, you know.
this bee is funny. I want to try and get the bee sound. Yeah. Yeah, my Letterboxd is like. If you look at Amazon and then look at like the stuff I've reviewed on Letterboxd,
it's like a 1-to-1.
Probably, but I
no,
was
I
like I don't
so.
Think anybody's gonna notice.
I think
and
like
then
the
you notice
Asteroid City that's on Amazon.
I actually saw that in the movie theater.
The Beastmaster's on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
Hunting Bigfoot's on Amazon.
Gosh. Oh man. Oh, man.
There's a lot of movies on here that aren't, but, like, yeah. A lot of these stick out as Amazon.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed recently that, like, streaming services just, like, they're not really very good.
They're really bad.
They're, like, really at an all-time low point right now, I think. Like, where I'm, like, I don't even care that I don't have them. Like, I'm just, like... Like, I'll be, like, scrolling through like, somebody else's, and then I'll be, like, there's nothing on any of these things that I really want to watch. Why don't I just experience life for myself?
What I've been thinking, well, the opposite of that is I think you should be able to watch TV and pay, like... 1/10 of a penny per minute or something like that.
that's like how much the electricity costs to like run the TV.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
That way you could just like watch a basketball game and it's like 60 cents or something.
That's pretty good. Yeah, because, like, when I rent a movie from online, it's, like, it's not that expensive.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't really see, like, yeah.
Remember how expensive it used to be to rent a movie from the movie store?
It would be, like, $5-6 or something.
Yeah.
But, like, in, like, 2006 or something.
Yeah, which is, like, well.
Which would have been, like, more like $10 now
yeah.
or something.
Does that add up? Maybe like a new release. Sometimes you could get like some crappy old movie for free. Like some like sun damaged version of Land Before Time.
I used to rent movies from Blockbuster and I used to do a little drawing on like a little piece of paper and I would hide the drawing inside of the like underneath like the wrapper of like the
yeah.
Like inside the box and stuff.
I understand. That's cool. Did anything ever become of that experimental art practice?
No. Yeah.
I like this time of year, looking out the window, and there's pink and white and green.
Yeah, we saw two rainbows earlier.
Yeah.
And we saw a couple fighting, a couple yelling at each other.
It's spring.
Yeah.
April showers bring May flowers.
Yeah. Do you have a cold?
No.
You got allergies?
No. Do you think I sound funny when I speak?
I think I'm kind of stuffed up. You sound like maybe you gotta blow your nose or something.
No, I think I have a bubble in my throat.
I've been having some boogers.
Yeah. Those boogers will get you. It's like, what are they doing in our nostrils anyway?
Boogers?
If they just have to come out, why are they even in there in the first place?
Yeah, man.
It's like, not to get too graphic, but, you know, your digestive system, you under, like, the relationship between putting what goes in and what comes out makes sense. But with boogers, it's like, where does that stuff come from? Like what, you know what I mean?
What am I supposed to do with all these boogers?
Like, what, yeah, like, how is my body turning my precious nutrients I eat into boogers?
There's so many bees, man.
I know. It's so nice, funny. And it's different like kinds it. Of bees.
Yeah, we got a bumblebee over here. Let me try and get the bumblebee sound.
Those bumblebees actually kind of annoy me because they, like, look at the ground, look at the deck, look at the bottom of the deck, Alex.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, those bumblebees, drill into the wood.
So that sawdust on the deck is because the bumblebee was eating the wood?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't eating it, but it was chewing at it.
I didn't know that they do that. Was it like, are they like building a home?
I don't know what they're doing. I guess they are.
Look, now they all went away. Dude, I did catch a lizard today.
Yeah, and that was really awesome. Cool.
It was like really satisfying.
What was your approach in catching it?
I just bent over and I just picked it up.
Yeah. Was it cold or something?
It was inside the warehouse on the warehouse floor. So yeah. I think it was just... Also, when I looked at it close up, it looked like it only had one eye. But I was wondering if... You know how sometimes there... I've seen videos online where they just have like this skin over their eye.
Yeah, it's like
the vet will like pop it off or something like that. I was like, I better not try and do that because I don't want to hurt it.
Yeah.
But I was like, maybe it doesn't have an eye, or maybe its eye was just like all gunked up or something.
And that was why it was so easy to pick up.
Yeah.
What did you do with it?
I took it outside. Well, yeah. I showed it to everybody.
Yeah.
Like a little kid would.
Yeah.
Like show it to every single person and or as many people as I could find. And then I went and I put it on a rock outside in the sun and then just crawled off into the... into the grass.
Yeah.
But I've never caught one of those before.
I haven't caught one of those either.
I used to catch them like when I go to Florida as a little boy.
Yeah, different kind of lizard.
They're different.
Yeah. The ones up here are skinks.
The skinks.
Yeah.
And they sound like they would stink because the name is skink.
Right.
But they don't stink. But I was thinking maybe it would leave my hand stinking.
Yeah. You were thinking that?
Yeah. And I sniffed it.
Your hand or the lizard?
Both.
Yeah.
Nothing. But yeah, I was never... That's the first time in my life I've ever caught a lizard in Indiana.
Yeah.
It's satisfying.
I didn't even know there were lizards in Indiana until... You know, the past 10 years or something, living down here.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Living down here in the Gulch.
Did they always live down here, or did they migrate up here from
warmer climates?
Tennessee.
Yeah, hard to say. I don't really have the hindsight.
I was the truck driver that was like dropping off pallets and stuff when I caught it. He pet it, and I was like, "Nah, dude, you gotta take off your glove." He was wearing a glove. And I was like, dude, take off your glove and pet it. So he took off his glove and he pet it. And I was like, that's what's up. I just like made this like, you know, 40-year-old man like kind of like pet a lizard. And that felt pretty good.
A 40-year-old man.
Well, he's probably like 40 or 50, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm getting there myself. Don't be so negative.
I'm not being negative.
I'm just saying
You're being negative if you think being 40 years old is bad.
No, I know what you're going to say.
What?
But you're going to say I'm not far off from that.
I was going to say mm-hmm. You're talking about a guy who's 4 years older than you.
Well, I don't know how old he was. He might have been 2 years older than me. But anyway, or maybe older than that. But anyway, it's a guy at work that I don't know. He seems like a grown man, because he is.
And you're trying to imbue a sense of childlike wonder.
I'm just trying to imbue a sense of childlike wonder in the grown man I don't know. That's all. But anyway. Yep. That was nice. And then, these big bumblebees have been all around. That's maybe something that you could have described in the poem. It's like... Because that seems like kind of like a dumb animal.
A bumblebee?
Mm-hmm.
Because of its name?
Yeah, I guess. Well, just they have like this kind of like big, dumb kind of vibe. But I don't know how intelligent they are. They're probably pretty intelligent.
There's this guy. Yeah, there's this. I encountered on Twitter this guy who's like a bee psychologist. And he said that he like posted this video of a honeybee like pulling a string for a reward, and he said this is the first ever video documentation of a honeybee engaging in a reward, you know, whatever the psychology term is, operant conditioning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said bumblebees are easier to train
because they don't move around as fast.
I don't know, someone was like, is it because bumblebees are stronger and they're better at pulling the string?
Oh.
And the guy said, I don't think so. The bee scientist said, I don't think so.
I wonder, but the bee scientist also said, I don't know?
He said, I don't think so.
But he didn't offer a reason that he thinks why they're the easiest to train?
I don't remember. Maybe I can find this again.
I hope it doesn't sting me. Here, let me get a little bee sound going.
Lars Chicka.
Lars what? Chicka?
Yeah.
Lars Chicka. There goes Janelle. On the BC Club.
He's a funky guy.
Oh, the mind of a bee. That dude looks very funky. He's got sort of a Mad Hatter vibe.
Yes, bye. See ya. Yesterday at 2 p.m., the first honeybee in this species' evolutionary history managed to pull a string for reward. They are much harder to train than bumblebees, though. That's fascinating.
That's fascinating.
Oh, wait.
What was the bee's reward? What does the bee want?
I think it's pulling string and...
let me see the video. Oh.
I think there's honey, or not honey, nectar on the string. Some smart guy goes, that's fascinating. I wonder if having a more advanced communication framework than bumblebees reduces their planning horizon. Do you know how many steps ahead they can conceptualize versus a bumblebee? And Lars Chicka says, I don't know.
Yet. Yet, in parentheses. Oh, we got two bumblebees over here now. One. Two.
Some guy goes, I wonder if I could get my stingless bees to do this. They're pretty small.
What makes a bee stingless? Does he breed them to not have a stinger, like a
mad watermelon? like playing God? Congratulations! Can that be attributed to differences in physical strength or body size? Lars Chicka says no, it's not physical strength. I think there are quite profound differences in cognition. Stay tuned.
They're quite different in cognition. That's what I always assumed. That's what I was getting at before, that these bees might be, that some might have be different in cognition.
I would have assumed a honeybee was more intelligent than a bumblebee, to be honest.
Why is that? A honeybee seems, or a bumblebee seems more independent.
Yeah, but social, like having a complex social intelligence, I think is more intelligent than independence. And look at this bumblebee. It's just kind of smacking its head against the awning.
Yeah, they're really just smacking their heads. Getting some good bee action. But yeah, I don't really know what they're trying to accomplish. It's actually really, really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, pathetic.
It's like, what are you guys doing? Oh.
I don't know if bumblebees can sting.
Oh, they can sting. I've been stung by one before. Okay.
Well, look at this. See, they're going into the hole.
Oh, they are? They're making a nest?
Maybe here. They did that. Maybe they're done for the night.
They're going to sleep. They're done.
Yeah.
Maybe they were really active right before bed. Like, they didn't want to go yet because...
Because going to bed sucks.
Yeah, like, when you stay up too late watching TV...
You don't want to go to bed.
You don't want to go to bed.
You have school in the morning.
You have to go to work. If you're an animal, maybe... Maybe life is too fun. If you're an animal, you don't want to go to sleep. Look, I can hear them. Here, let me see if I can stick this over here and get the sound of them eating this. That crackling sound is the sound of them, like, eating the porch wood.
I hope this deck doesn't fall down because they eat everything away. It's every summer, a bunch of big bumblebees chew away.
I had no idea that they did that. Like, that's pretty interesting.
I know, actually. It's like, that's something, like, you should learn in grade school.
What? That bumblebees will eat your deck?
Yeah. Or, like, you should be able to pick that up through cultural osmosis. Like, everyone knows that termites eat wood. Everybody knows that elephants are afraid of mice. Everybody knows that, beavers make dams. Everyone should know that bumblebees will burrow into your deck.
And they should also know that a rooster can sound like an elephant.
Yeah.
Actually, they sound more like an elephant than they do a cock-a-doodle-doo.
But at the same time, it's exciting to learn new things and to have your assumptions challenged as you move through life, at least as it relates to barnyard animals.
I agree with that. I love it when my assumptions are challenged by barnyard animals.
It's very Orwellian. When people say something's Orwellian, they just mean 1984.
Yeah.
They don't mean Animal Farm. Yeah,
they rarely mean Animal Farm. Oh, man, yeah. Did you hear that farmer died? He got trampled by a bull on his farm.
Oh, it's utterly
it's so
Orwellian.
Oh, did you hear... did you hear about
spider learned how to write in English
with its web?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Orwellian. Did you hear about the pig that could talk and then it won the competition in a city?
Utterly Orwellian.
Very Orwellian. I actually can't remember
the plot of Babe. Yeah, does the pig talk in Babe? Is that the...
I don't think he talks to the guy. He doesn't talk to his owner, the farmer.
But the animals can talk when no one's looking.
They can talk to each other.
But there was two babes, right? Because there was babe and there was
babe in the city.
Pig in the city.
Pig in the city, yeah. Which kind of was a little Orwellian in a way.
Because of the city?
Yep. No, I don't know. Like, well,
maybe babes on Amazon.
The pig was free. The pig freed itself from the farm, and it went to go live in the city. And that's what they do in Animal Farm, sort of. They free themselves.
Right.
I actually can't remember what really happens. I think what happens in Animal Farm is they kill the farmer, and they take over the farm. But then there's so much infighting that they start killing each other, and that different races of animals fight against each other.
It was like, yeah, and then
or something.
And then at the end, the pigs become humans. And it's a parable about how revolutionary communism is bad because those guys will just turn into capitalists themselves.
Yeah,
I think.
You know, I always say like that, like, you know, like, abuse of power, you know, comes as no surprise.
Yeah.
I've always been.
Yeah, that slogan,
I think that's kind of
has Orwellian. Always spoken to me. And not only have I said that, but I've worn it on a t-shirt. You know, with great power comes great responsibility as well.
Yeah, I've always said that too. I invented that. Yep.
Yeah, I'm always sitting at Atlas saying, with great power comes great responsibility, to anyone who will listen.
Yeah, and I say there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, which is like Animal Farmian or Orwellian. People say Kafka-esque a lot.
Yeah, they do.
And also, are they normally just referring to like if somebody transforms into a bug?
No,
They throw it around a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's
about the trial. Because when something's Kafka-esque, I think it has to do with, like absurd bureaucracy. You'd think it would be about turning into a bug.
Hmm.
Because that's the Kafka everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. I feel like people use Kafka-esque and Lynchian like interchangeably, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really good. We're getting some really good bird action. Who's like the big bird rider? Who's like the most famous writer, bird writer? Is there someone who's written a lot of books about birds that's like kind of like the gangsta of birds?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe like Guardians of Gahool. Remember that?
No, what's that?
It was a book for kids, it was like a third grade book fair type book about owls that like were in a war with each other.
Oh, that sounds cool.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I liked books about animals fighting each other.
Yeah, like Redwall?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So you got Redwall.
But you don't
Animal
still
Farm.
Read Redwall.
It's Brian Joxian.
Brian
Joxian of these animals to be fighting.
Oh, the descriptions of food were utterly Brian Joxian.
What's the dude Autobahn?
Yeah, John James Autobahn.
John James Autobahn. That's his name? Is he a writer or is he a preservationist? Or both?
I think he's most famous as a painter.
Oh, he's a painter?
Yeah.
Dude, this spring is straight up Audubonian.
Mm-hmm.
The birds he are like singing in an Audubonial nature.
People don't like him anymore, but
why? What'd he do?
The thing about him that I don't think is why he's canceled, but I think about him is that is funny, is he, he shot and killed all the birds he painted, and he posed Yikes. Them with strings. But the more interesting thing is he ate them.
Huh.
And he wrote about how the birds tasted.
Really? I didn't know that. That's actually really, really interesting.
I know. Because it's something everyone's wondered. Well, not everybody.
Well, every hungry person ever wondered.
Yeah.
Whenever you see a bird.
Every curious carnivore.
Well, sometimes if you're really... Say you were out on the trail and you're just bird watching and you forgot to eat lunch. You start to wonder what a great blue heron would taste like.
Well, it's there's this whole animal kingdom out there. And I'm not saying we should eat them all, because we shouldn't. But we only eat about 5 or 6 of them.
So,
And you just kind of got to wonder. Why do animals taste different from each other? Why does a lamb taste like lamb versus beef?
Why would a robin taste different than a indigo bunting or something? And it's this guy, he must have tasted every bird that exists.
Yeah, and he wrote about them with gusto. I don't know.
He wrote about the flavors of the birds?
Yeah, he talked about how a flamingo tasted bad.
He said flamingo tastes bad?
Yeah, he said it tasted swampy.
Well...
And see, that makes sense.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that. How many shrimps do you eat before it makes your skin turn pink?
I'd like to eat that rooster.
Well, you know how the rooster would taste.
Yeah.
Well, actually, do we eat rooster? Does
I don't
a rooster
know.
Taste different than...
I actually think they might, I think this is messed up. Remember that movie Baraka that I used to talk about a lot?
Mm-hmm.
I think that what they do in a lot of these factory farming situations is they, there's this conveyor belt of chicks, and they sex the chicks. They identify the male chicks versus the female chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And the female chicks get pushed into this conveyor belt, and they grow into hens. For laying and eating.
Mm-hmm.
And the male chicks, I think, just kind of get ground up.
They become chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Man, that's bleak. Because, which would you rather be? I'd rather be nugged up.
Yeah.
Than be...
I don't really have a preference.
Turned into breasts.
I don't really have a
torture,
preference.
Being tortured. But, yeah... Man, I guess if he was... he was probably killing the birds because that was, maybe a normal thing for a naturalist to do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, probably. It was, yeah.
So he probably was thinking, his choice to eat them was probably, coming at least from a good place of not wanting to waste the creature that he killed.
Probably,
something.
Yeah. And there's probably a little bit of curiosity. Yeah. Well,
you ever love something so much that you just want to eat it?
People talk about that. Yeah.
It's a thing.
I don't have that, but people talk about it.
It's a thing that, it's not a thing that I really feel except for about pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. But, I don't know. That's interesting. Man, these birds are really going for it. They're singing. I heard this really good bird call the other day with I think it might have been a starling or something. It has this cool little sound right before the call.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like the call is charging up.
Yeah.
Like, and then it blasts off.
Like, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
It almost sounds like electronic or something. I don't know what it is. It's like a and it was really loud because it was in this tree right above me. And I was like, what is that crazy sound? And then, yeah.
All right, I'm going to end the episode.
Oh, okay.